1 Corinthians chapter 10. Begin reading there at verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank that spiritual rock that followed them. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried above that ye are able, but will with the temptation or trial also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you go to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice to idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give, for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved or delivered." Now that's a lot of what's covered in this chapter. We're not going to attempt to go through the whole chapter, but I wanted to read it so we could see the context of what Paul's writing. And of course, he's continuing on in his with the thoughts that he had in chapter 9. He said, "Now every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, or fights an imaginary foe. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or disqualified, that is, that I should appear before my brethren as being one who is a hypocrite." That's essentially what he is saying, because he's talking about the fact, he's not talking about there's something he could do that would cause him to be cast out of God's presence, but he's talking about something that he might do as a man in the flesh. Therefore, he watched over himself in the flesh, he says, because he did not want to be found to be a hypocrite before men, so that men would look at his preaching and say, "Well, there's nothing to it. Doesn't mean anything." That's the reason why he said that he would not take money from those to whom he preached, because he didn't want someone saying, "Well, he's just preaching for money." If he didn't take any money, they couldn't very well say that, could they? And so it is. Now, unfortunately, we live in an age when there is a lot of preaching for money. In fact, most preaching that's done today is done for money. And I'm not saying that everybody has a mind just to make money that might be out here preaching, but dear brethren, the gospel has nothing to do with money. Now, you would never come to that conclusion if you listen to most preachers, like on the radio and TV especially. You'd think that money was one of the most important ingredients in preaching the gospel, would you not? Because most of them tell you, "Now, I'm going to tell you what, we're just going to have to quit. And the Lord's going to let the Lord down in what we're doing if you don't send us your money. So it's all up to you to do it, or the Lord's going to go out of business." Now, dear brethren, the Lord, He doesn't need men in the first place, and He certainly doesn't need the money of men. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He'll put money in the fish's mouth to pay His taxes if it pleases Him to do so. And so the gospel has nothing to do with money, and Paul made it very clear that he wasn't in this as a business or as a career in order to make money from those to whom he preached. And so it is that he says here, with that same principle, I'm going to watch over myself, and I'm going to, by the grace of God, not put myself in situations that after I've preached to others, I myself would be a castaway and they'd just be disqualified from being what I would claim to be. And then he says, "And also, brethren," keeping that same thought in mind, he says, "Also, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant about the history of God's dealings with the nation of Israel." Now, it's interesting here that he speaks to this mixture of Jews and Gentiles, which mostly were Gentiles in this Corinthian church. Now, there were Jews among them, but they were, Corinth was basically a Greek city, and it was the people that were converted in that church, by and large, came out of the pagan background of the Greeks. And so it is that he's speaking, though, here to them as though they are all of one family, because of this reason. You see, we are not Jews in the strict sense of the word, having the blood that's passed from Abraham down to us. Now, some of us may have some of that blood in us, but it doesn't matter. And here Paul is using the example of the Jews to these Gentiles. And what does he say? He said, I would not have you ignorant how that all our fathers, because he's speaking, he's showing, in my estimation here, that there is neither Jew nor Gentile in the kingdom of God. But the Lord used the Jews to typify the love of Christ for His church and the deliverance that He would bring forth for His church. And in the same way, He has used the Gentiles as a means to bring the gospel to the Jews. So it's an amazing thing, but the Lord doesn't have a natural people in the earth which He says, these are my people. His people are those which He has chosen out of every kindred, tribe, nation, and tongue on the earth. And we are all have the same fathers as those who speak here, because he's talking about fathers being in the household of faith, those whom the Lord was pleased to manifest His grace and mercy to as He brought them, the nation of Israel, out of Egypt. And so he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. You need to know your history. You know, one of the things that is happening in our nation today is, and all the different problems that we have, is because we forget about the history of what went on before. And when you forget history, as someone has wisely said, when you disregard history, you are prone to repeat it. You know, and isn't it the truth? I mean, we just keep doing the same old things. It's like we forget about all the things that went behind and are before us, and we just keep making the same mistakes over and over again in a natural sense as a nation. But so that's what he's speaking to them about in the spiritual sense. He says, moreover, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I want you to know, I want you to look at what the Lord did when he brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And he says that they were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They all came the same way. There was not another pathway for the Israelites to escape the Egyptians who were bent on their destruction. There was only one pathway, one avenue by which they were delivered. That true? I mean, there's not one of them that when they got to the other side, there was not some coming over in boats. You know, and there was not some stragglers that came along later on after the sea had closed up. No, once the sea had closed up, that was it. The only ones that made it through there alive were the Israelites. But all of them made it through there, as the Lord, as you pointed out so ably there earlier. The Lord has not lost one of those that belong to Him, and He's not going to lose one of them that belonged to Him. There was none that were left behind. They made it through that. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, there's no need to make more out of what Paul's saying here. He's not speaking of a lesson on baptism here. He's just using the term, they were all dipped in the same stream. Now, we know that they went through on dry land, so it's not literally speaking about going through water, except for the fact that they did go through the water, didn't they? Although the water didn't touch them, because it was a wall on the right and on the left. And so they did go through the water, though it didn't touch them. Now, they were all under the same cloud. That is the cloud that separated them from the Egyptians. But this was the same cloud, was it not, that was a shade to them by day, and then the fire was there by night. And so the Lord says they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, Moses as they followed Moses, they all went the same way. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now, he says spiritual meat here, which it was spiritual meat. It was that meat or that food that was sent down from heaven. They ate the manna. That's what he's literally speaking about here. Now, it was natural food, was it not? Well, sure it was, but it was spiritually provided because no man had anything to do with it. They didn't cause it to fall. It fell from heaven, and the Lord gave it to them. And it's the same fashion in which we think about this bread and this wine that we have here. It's been provided for us. And there's not a thing in the world. And that, now we know what, somebody went out and bought the wine that's in these glasses. Somebody made the bread, and somebody ground up the flour and all of that kind of stuff. But the substance of it, what it is, we didn't provide it. For the Lord said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He said, "This is my blood, which is shed to wash away your sin." Now, we have this here before us, but we didn't provide it, did we? All we could do is sit around and eat some bread and drink some wine, but it wouldn't be anything if it wasn't that the Lord had provided the spiritual meat that comes with it. That has nothing really on the one hand to do with the physical aspect of it, except the Lord, because we are flesh and blood, He's given us things in flesh and blood that we might see and that we might taste and feel. And so, they did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Now, you remember how they got water. The Lord told Moses to speak to the rock and water came out of it, didn't it? And then one time, what did Moses do? He hit the rock. And the Lord took him to task for it. Because, you see, the Lord would provide it. It wouldn't be by the hand of Moses. It wouldn't be through some demonstration of something Moses could do. And so they did all eat the same spiritual meat, did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock. Now, have you ever drank of a rock? You ever tried drinking a rock? That'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? So what does it mean? It means they drank of the water that came from the rock. But it's not talking about the rock, per se. You know, men like to have religious relics and different things that they can put their hands on. And I'm sure that if you could go over there to this part of the world and you could identify and historically document that one of these rocks was the rock out of which the water flowed, that you could break that thing up and there'd be people lining up to buy it because they would think there was some significance to that rock. That's not what he's talking about here. He's saying that the rock which they drank out of, which all of God's people have drunk from in all ages, is the same one. The Jews were that those whom the Lord loved among the Jews. They are not all Israel which are Israel, but those whom the Lord loved out of Israel, they've all drunk from the same spiritual rock that the Israel of God in all ages has drunk from, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says here. They did all drink, for they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So he's not talking about a mineral here. Is he? He's talking about the Savior. He's talking about the one who is the deliverer of his people. And then he says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now, this is an indication of just what I just said. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. Even as it is true that all those who walk among the saints of God are not of the saints of God. Now that is a fact. That's just the way it is. The Lord said that He would cause the wheat and the tares to grow together until the time of the harvest, and then He would separate them. So just because a man comes along and says, I'm a follower of Christ, doesn't mean that it's so. It doesn't mean that he belongs to the Lord because he's a religious man, because he's a moral man, because he does many wonderful things in the name of the Lord. That doesn't make a man a child of God. But the Lord knoweth them that are his, and he says, but with many of them God was not well pleased. Now the Lord is well pleased with His people. How do we know that? Because of what He told John the Baptist. When John saw him, he said, and what He told the Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, dear brethren, if God's people are hidden in Christ, can it be said that God is not well pleased with His people? Now, what is He teaching us here? He's teaching us just exactly what He said, by example. Now, you see, God's people are, we don't come into the spiritual life of the children of God with perfect knowledge. We come as babes, do we not? And we learn. And that's why he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the things that happened to Israel in time past, because I don't want you to repeat the things they did that were evil. Now you see, the Lord instructs His children, does He not? And He teaches us. Just like a child, many times, you can teach a child, don't touch the stove. The stove will burn you. Do not touch the stove. Do not screw a light bulb out of the lamp socket and stick your finger in there. But just like me, I had to try that one day. Only ever did it once. Only once, because that was enough. And I learned it. See? And when a child, they don't know what hot or cold is. But how do they find out? Because they'll touch it. And then they'll cry and carry on, oh, I burned myself. Well, you know. But unfortunately, because of the nature and way of man, that's the way that we are. And so the Lord would teach us through experience these things. And were it not that we were well-pleasing in His sight, He would cast us off, would He not? I mean, what could a man do to cause himself to be pleasing in the eyes of God if he's not pleasing in the eyes of God? You tell me. Now, there are people out there, religious people, tell you, well, he can do this, this, and this. Brethren, you can't make yourself well-pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Only Christ can make a man well-pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And if Christ makes him well-pleasing in the eyes of the Lord, nothing can keep him from being so. And so what he's teaching us here is by example to avoid these things. He says here, now these things were for our example. The Lord caused the Israel to go through this wilderness and he demonstrated that he was not well pleased with some of them because they fell into idolatry and all sorts of things. Why did he do that? For our sake. To show us the example of what it is that befalls those that go contrary to the way of God, that turn aside, that go into idolatry and all of such things. Now these things were for our examples to the intent. Here's the purpose. That we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. That's the purpose. To teach us. To set an example for us. To show us. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Now he's speaking about the when they worshiped the serpent that they put on the pole. Remember when they disobeyed the Lord, and then they put the serpent on the pole so that they might be set free from it. And later on, what did they do? They worshiped the very thing that the Lord had set forth before them. So the Lord would show us and teach us by those examples that He has set forth how we ought to walk. Now, how ought a child of God to walk? Paul's telling these Corinthians about idolatry. He's teaching them what it is. Idolatry is not something that you can ignorantly go into. Idolatry is something that you decide to do. Now, a child of God cannot be an idolater. If somebody is an idolater, they cannot be a worshiper of Christ. Because He said, ye cannot worship God and devils. You can't do it. It can't be done. He said, no man can serve God and mammon. No man can go after the things of the world and love the things of God. Those two things are contrasts to one another. They cancel one another out. And so He said, don't do these things. Well, wait a minute. Why is He saying don't do them if God's people can't do them? That's why He's saying it. He's saying that because God's people are not to do these things. We're not going around here telling people, well, go on and commit adultery. No, we tell people, don't do that. Why? Because that is the conduct that is pleasing unto the Lord that He finds in His people. That is the exhortation. We exhort God's people to walk in these ways. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Would you want to tempt Christ? I mean, would that be your desire? To tempt God to destroy you? No. I mean, if you love Christ, that's not going to be the thing that motivates you. Now, having said that, we're not saying here that God's people never fall into the very sins that He's talking about. But dear brethren, these things are set forth for us an example that we might turn from that. He shows us how He treats that. And He shows us how grace is sufficient in all things when He is pleased to deliver us even after we have touched the stove and burned our hand. And He comes and He puts ointment on the thing. Now, He doesn't take the sting of that burn away, does He? Because we remember what that is. But the Lord will teach His people. He'll give examples to them. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, we're going to stop there because we don't have any more time. But that's sufficient to set the groundwork for what He's going to talk to the children of Israel or the Corinthians about, using these examples for us that we might learn how we ought to walk. Because that is very important for the children of God to walk according to the teaching of the Word of God. That's why we teach one another, is it not? It's not because we think that by doing that we're going to make ourselves acceptable with God, but it's because we are the sons of God and we desire to walk in His way. So may the Lord help us.